Morning. I'd like to welcome you all to Baptist Christian Church this morning. If you'd turn with me in your bulletins, we'll see the opportunities that we have this week. This morning, directly after worship service, Lori Gabhart, she'll be visiting with us in our sanctuary here, so I think all the classes are combined for that. Tuesday night is Ladies Bible Study from 7 to 8:15. Wednesday is Prayer and Bible Study at 6:30. And Thursday is Crusaders Night, Crusaders Club at 6 to 7:30. And Friday, we're having the family gym night over at the school. I've been told to tell you that everybody is invited. That's not just people that come to the church. So if you have other families or something you'd like to invite, you're more than welcome to do that. It's a really good time. So please plan to help join us over there. Also, they asked that if you'd like to bring a snack to share and cans of pop or bottles of water, whatever drinks are left over will be donated to the Crusaders teens. I have a couple cards to read here. It says, thanks so much for the lovely flowers. Our family has many wonderful memories from years ago at the Baptist Christian Church in Royal Center. Thanks also to Pastor Rich and Linda for the visit and prayers. The family of Jim Kahn. I have another one. It says, thank you very much. We want to thank all the people who had anything to do with fixing the wonderful and delicious meal and the fun we had Friday night. Thank you, Dick and Veda Berkshire. This week's memory verse is Jeremiah 9:23. It says, this is what the Lord says. Let not the wise man boast of his wisdom or the strong man boast of his strength. Thank you.
Good morning. We're glad that you've come to be a part. What a beautiful day. The Lord has given us some sunshine, and it's a little chilly, but it's not all that bad. There's a lot of neat things going on, and again, thank you for the supper Friday night. We had a good time, and everybody that planned it did a really good job, and we had a lot of fun. If you have any ideas or suggestions that you'd like to submit for the new edition that's going on over here, write them down, and anything's open, okay? We want to hear from everybody, ideas or whatever. And make sure Conrad has them. Next Sunday's going to be our last Sunday to do that, because then the trustees want to get together and be able to put all that information together, so we've got something for you for the April business meeting. So keep that in mind, please. Would you please put Larry Smith on your prayer list, or he's been on the prayer list for a while. He goes Tuesday. They're going to biopsy something they saw on his chest. The doctor said didn't like the way it looked, and so Virginia called and asked if we would just pray, especially Tuesday, that everything goes okay. So if you'd put Larry on your Tuesday prayer list, that would be great. I think that's everything. Let's just bow in prayer now and ask the Lord to come and minister to us. Let's bow in prayer. Thank you, Father, for your amazing grace. Thank you for all that you do for us every day. We are truly blessed because you have chosen us and redeemed us, made us your children. Thank you for the privilege of coming together to worship as a family today, and for the freedom to do that openly and unafraid. Our Father, it is our desire that you and you alone be honored and glorified in this hour. We know that you have brought us here to meet with you. So we pray that you will make our hearts attentive. Pray that we will be receptive to what the Holy Spirit has for us today. And our Father God, we would ask that you would draw us closer to you. Reveal yourself to us today. It is our privilege to share our tithes and offerings with you. We do it with a cheerful heart in the mighty, eternal, saving name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.
Scripture reading today is going to be Jeremiah chapter 9, verses 23 and 24. Would everyone who is able please stand for the reading of God's word? Say, this is what the Lord declares. The dead bodies of men will lie like refuge in the open field, like cut grain behind the reaper with no one to gather them. This is what the Lord says. Let not the wise man boast of his wisdom, or the strong man boast of his strength, or the rich man boast of his riches. But let him who boasts, boast about this, that he understands and knows me, that I am the Lord who exercises kindness, justice, and righteousness on earth. For in these I delight, declares the Lord. May God add his blessing to the reading of his word. Thank you.
Let's pray together. Eternal God, the great I am, the one who was, is, and forever will be, thank you for calling us here to worship you today. We thank you for our great salvation in Christ. We thank you for the blessings. We thank you, Father, that in these past days you have walked with us, have taught us, you have ministered to us in so many ways, and our lives are better and blessed because of your great, amazing grace for us. We thank you for the privilege that you give to us to open the Word, to hear you speak to our hearts, and to change our lives. And our Father, we need that. We are beat up from our week in the mission field. We have been attacked. We have been harangued and harassed. We have been challenged. And Father, because of your great love for us, you have walked us through the valleys and brought us to the still waters. Thank you for being such a great God to us. And as we come this morning, we come needing to hear what you have. We not only want to know you better, we need to know you better. And so we pray that you will increase our faith. We pray that you will help us to understand that we can trust you in all areas. We pray, our Father, that you will help us understand that you are as near to us as you will allow us to be. For all those that in this hour are still in the midst of trouble, who are being weighed down with various weights, who are being beaten, in some cases even trampled, Father, we would ask that you would undertake for them. We would pray that you would cause them to look up and see you. We pray that you would help them, that you would grant to them the realization that you are there, that you will answer prayer, that you will lead them through. And I pray, Father, for all those who are enjoying the mountaintop, that you would just bless and encourage and prepare them for that which lies ahead. Thank you for choosing to minister through us and granting to us the high and holy privilege of ministering on your behalf. We lift our brother Larry up to you and ask you just to watch over him in these coming days. We pray that you'll be with the doctors, nurses, and all who minister to him. We'd ask you to guide he and Virginia safely to the hospital and home again. And we pray that you'll just help them and give them the courage, the peace, the understanding that all things work together for good. And now, Father, we would ask you to come and minister to us. We pray that you would keep us free from distraction. Help us to allow the Spirit of God to minister to us as he so desires to do. And we'll give you the praise and the honor and the glory that is yours, not just because of who you are, but because of what you have done in our lives. Oh, Father, we love you so much. We lift our prayers in the mighty, eternal, saving name of the Lord Jesus Christ, and for his sake, amen. Amen. Some time ago, my pulpit Bible became ill. And over the last few months, it has gone downhill rapidly, and it gave up the ghost. This last week, I was given a new pulpit Bible as a kind of a Valentine's Day present. It is an NIV. Unfortunately, it is not the 1984 version, the good version. I haven't had a chance to go through and mark all the changes yet, so if I say a word differently, would you understand that I still have work to do here and such? I got this not because I recommend it or think it's a good thing, because there are some words that have changed that should never have been changed. But I thought this would be easier than changing translations or versions altogether, huh? So anyway, there's that. Let's look at the important stuff now. Can we really know God? We say that God is incomprehensible. We say that he is infinite, and yet we say we can know him. Sounds like a contradiction, doesn't it? How can we be sure that what we're learning about God is true? Well, we've talked about the truth, the veracity, if you will, of Scripture. I wonder, do you have a desire in your heart to keep knowing God more deeply, more intimately than ever before now? If the answer to that question is yes, great. If it's not, why? Why would you not want to know him more? Even if it's yes, why? What is it that encourages you to want to know him? Would you say that your personal relationship with him is just that? It is personal? Is it intimate? Is it deep? How is your relationship with God similar to relationships you have with other people? How's it different? How is it that you maybe know some people better than you know God? Maybe you feel more comfortable with some people than you do with God. These are all good questions, and they all have good answers. You and I have to, at some point, come to grips with the answers to these questions as we grow in our spiritual lives. But our knowledge of God is one of those areas that sometimes we question. Even as believers, we question it because God's so big, isn't he? I want to consider some truths today that will help us, I think, in our understanding of God. We've looked very briefly at the doctrine of Scripture and how God gave us his word, how it is truth, how he has revealed himself to us. He's revealed himself to us in Scripture far more fully, I think, than we'll have time to understand in this life. When we come to the point where we understand that God has revealed himself and we know his word can be trusted, then we turn to the doctrine of God. We begin to understand some things and want to understand some things about the God who has revealed himself to us. One of the first questions that always comes up is, how can we know him? Well, we're going to look just very briefly at that, and I want to try to give you some things that will help you get to know him better. In the first place, God must reveal himself to us. Now, I know that's not all that profound. You probably figured that one out. We talked about Revelation and how God has done just that. In the book of Romans, chapter 1 and verse 19, Paul says, "What can be made known about God has been made known." And that's true because God made it known. So God has revealed himself to us. People can know that God exists, and for us, again, that's no problem. The very fact that we have Scripture is proof that God wants us to know more than just the truth that he exists. God really wants us to know him personally. And beloved, that can be learned only from Scripture. Back in the book of Matthew chapter 11, Jesus is talking, and he says it's recorded in verse 25, Jesus said, "I praise you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because you have hidden these things from the wise and learned and revealed them to little children. Yes, Father, for this is what you were pleased to do. All things have been committed to me by my Father. No one knows the Son except the Father. No one knows the Father except the Son," watch, "and those to whom the Son chooses to reveal him." If you go back to the book of John, chapter 1, John is suggesting to us some things and reveals to us in verse 18 that no one's ever seen God, but the one and only Son, who is himself God and is in the closest relationship with the Father, has made him known. In chapter 16 in the book of John, Jesus is talking about the Holy Spirit and his ministry, and he says in verse 5 of John, let's begin in verse 4, I have told you this so that when their time comes, you remember that I warned you about them. I tell you this from the beginning because I was with you. Now I'm going to him who sent me. None of you ask, where are you going? Rather, you're filled with grief because I've said these things. But verily, I tell you, it is good. It is for your good that I'm going away. Unless I go away, the Advocate, the Holy Spirit, will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. And when he comes, he will prove the world to be in the wrong about sin and righteousness and judgment. And we can go on and on and on and on with scripture passages that teach us God has a real desire in his heart for us to know him personally. But the interesting thing is, if you want to know God deeply and personally, you first have to have the indwelling Holy Spirit. To have the indwelling Holy Spirit, then of course you have to be saved. Okay? So, there you go. There was your theology lesson. That's the information. It's all truth. It's all fact. It's all prerequisite. But let's look at the application. You see, you and I have to remember that God chooses, and it's only God who chooses, what and when and where and how much of himself he will reveal to each of us. Now, that shouldn't come as a shock to us. That's the way we work with one another. We only reveal or share parts of ourselves that we want made known to other people. What's the criteria for that? Do you share just anything with anybody? I think not. You see, if you share something about somebody, if you share something with yourself or about yourself with someone, why do you do that? Seems like the thing to do. There are several reasons, but the first reason is, I want them to know this. I have a desire to share me with them. That desire comes to you because of the level of relationship you have with that person. You share with someone what you want them to know to the degree you trust that person. Now, there are a lot of reasons, but it comes down to that. And we share information with people who have earned the right to gain the information. We all share information with our doctor that we wouldn't share with anybody else. Why? Well, they've earned the right to get it because of who they are. We share information with our spouses that we won't share with anyone else. And we all get that part. Beloved, God works the same way. I'm not going to share information of a personal nature. I'm not going to share information that I consider to be valuable, intimate, detailed, or whatever with someone that I think is going to blab it all over the place, or that is going to use it against me, or that is going to laugh about it. God doesn't either. And you see, that goes on a much higher plane because we're told very clearly, you and I are God's representatives to a lost and dying world. Rory is not the only missionary in the room today. All of us who call ourselves Christians are missionaries. We just all have different fields of assignment. God is not going to share stuff about himself with us unless it means something to us. Right? Not to him. God is not going to share anything with us or something with us if it doesn't mean anything to us. To us. So let me ask you something. What does God share with you? What did God share with you in the past week? Your answer is telling you this. I learned what God knew I was ready to learn from him. God revealed himself to me to the degree that he knew I was ready to accept and handle it. And if I want God to keep showing me more and more and more of himself, then all I have to do is put myself in a position for God to do that. And I'm going to share with you some very specific information on how you can do that. But I need for you to understand, beloved, God does not just open himself up to anybody. I think that concept that we practice, we learn from him. And so understand that God has a lot that he'd like to share with you. Is it not true that in our own personal relationships, when we know that someone is trustworthy, when we know that someone is compassionate, when we know that someone loves us with that agape love that comes from God, when we know that they can be trusted to handle the information in the right way, isn't there somewhere within us a desire to share with them? I want you to know this. Now, listen, beloved. God feels that way toward every one of us only to an infinite degree. One of the things that we'll be doing throughout forever and ever in heaven is learning more of God. Now, I sit and think about that once in a while, and forever is a really long time. God is infinite. Get it? We'll never learn it all. Forever. So God has a lot to share. God wants to share. But you and I need to put ourselves in a position so God can and will share. And may I suggest this to you? As you practice that on a daily basis this way and say, Father, help me to live, to learn, to be in a position where you feel like you can share deeper, intimate truths with me, that you can help me understand more and more about you, you will discover people do the same thing. People will say, you got it going on. I trust you. You walk with the Lord. You and God seem to have something going here, and I like it. I'd like to learn more about it. Can you help me? Yeah, right. See? What a neat thing to do. What a neat person to know. If you're going to get to know somebody, get to know God. He will reveal himself to us. Now, as We understand that. Let's also get this. God can never be fully understood. He can never be fully understood. We know that God is omniscient, all-knowing. We know that God is omnipotent. He is the source of all power. We know that He is omnipresent. He is everywhere present all at once. How does He do that? I don't know. I don't think about that. God is, in addition to all that, infinite and eternal. You and I aren't omni-anything. Neither are we infinite. We are eternal. Did you know that? Before your conception, you were eternal this way in the mind of God. You weren't something God thought of the day you were conceived. You've been on God's mind forever and ever and ever. There never was a time you weren't there. God just waited till exactly the right time. Did I read that somewhere? In the exact moment in time? Yes, I did. God acted. And voila, there was you. From that point on, you are eternal physically. And we will be eternal with God forever and ever and ever and ever. Because we are created beings, we'll never know all there is to know about our Creator. Now I need for you to listen, because this is where it is, this exact point, that carnal Christians, those who ones who use the name Christian as a get-in word, it doesn't mean anything to them. Those who are without the Lord find their excuses at this point for their sinful way of life. Listen carefully. It is wrong to say God cannot be understood at all. It is wrong to say, I don't understand God, I can't understand God, He's too big, it's all too complex. That's exactly where Satan wants us to be. When we think the Bible or God's law is all way too complicated or complex to be understood, then we've fallen in to Satan's trap. God can be understood. As a matter of fact, as you're working through the book of Proverbs, perhaps for the rest of the month or maybe next month, make a note or underline every time you read the word understanding in the book of Proverbs. You will discover not only can God be understood, God's law, God's way of operation with us, many things about our relationship can certainly be understood to a really high degree. It is wrong for anyone to say God can't be understood. Now, here's the positive way to say that, or the positive part of that. It is okay to say God can never be fully understood or completely or exhaustively understood. If you want to pick that up, you can pick it up all through Scripture. Job is a great book to read about those kind of things. In chapter 5 of the book of Job, in verse 9, Eliphaz says this: God performs wonders that cannot be fathomed, miracles that cannot be counted. In Psalm 139, in verse 6, David says, such things as you tell me, God, like that I can't go anywhere from your presence, that I'm everywhere, that you're everywhere with me, I can't hide from you. All of those things are too wonderful for me to understand. Down in verse 14 in that same psalm, he says, I am fearfully and wonderfully made. And that my heart knows right well. All this teaches us that not only can we never understand God fully, listen, we'll never understand any one thing about God fully. I will never fully understand God's amazing grace. I will never understand the patience God has with me. You don't either, do you? I will never understand God's forgiving heart, His unconditional love for every human ever born, His infinite desire to see all people come to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. You and I would have a hard time with that, don't we? We'll never get a full handle on it, but we'll always be the recipients of it, and that's the important thing. You and I kind of have to have a handle on that because, listen carefully, every one of us have experienced or right now are in a situation where we say, what in the world is going on? I don't understand this. Look, I've been having my devotions, honestly. I've been asking God to teach me. I've been reading. I've been in prayer. I've been concerned about my walk. And yet, it's raining on my parade. Why is this happening? What's up? I don't know what I did to deserve it. I don't know how to get out of it. I don't know what I'm supposed to be doing now. Any of you ever been there, or am I the only one twisted like that? Yeah, we're all there. And beloved, it's important for you and I to understand that it's exactly at those moments Satan comes to us and he says, you see, you don't get it, do you? You're not the Christian you thought. By the way, the thought just came into my mind. In case you think I was following you this week, I've had this for a little while longer than that, so I didn't do any particular spying this week, okay? If I'm talking about you, it's not my fault, okay? Satan comes and he says, you see, this Christian thing didn't work for you, did it? God's not as faithful to you as he should be, is he? You're not on the list with God you thought you were on. You're screwed up. And you know, from a human perspective, that makes a lot of sense, doesn't it? Yeah. Because you see, beloved, all around us we're hearing what Satan wants us to hear. If you're screwed up, it's because you screwed up. It's because you messed up. And God can't bless you. If your life's in turmoil, then there's something wrong with you. Well, the only thing that's wrong with you is you're a spiritual being in a material world. And God's going to correct that for you. And beloved, it is so important that you and I get a hold of the idea, because there are a couple of things we need to remember at exactly those points, and that is this: God asks us to walk by faith, not by sight. God does not expect us to understand or get everything all the time. God doesn't always explain everything to us. And the scriptures very clearly say, hey, look, if you knew everything, where would be the faith in that? If all your questions were answered and God just laid it all out for you, where's the faith? Where's the trust? God doesn't work that way. You see, from the beginning, it was by faith Abraham believed God, and because of Abraham believing God, before anything God promised him came to pass, God credited it to him as righteousness. Faith is not believing God can, it's knowing God will. And God says, that's the way my program works. You and I need to get a hold of what Solomon said in Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. We need to keep moving toward the Lord even when we don't understand it. We need to trust in Him with all our heart and not depend on what we do or don't understand. But even in the midst of the worst trial we've got, acknowledge that God is God. And when we do that, the God who is faithful and will at the same time we're given the test or the trial or the, King James says, temptation, He will show us a way of escape that we may be able to make it through. You have to understand that. You have to know that, because we forget it too easily. Listen, because you don't understand is the very reason you need to trust and believe that God does understand, is in complete control and working all things, listen, for His good and perfect will, not just in you, but through you and for you. And I want to tell you something. That part isn't always easy. That part's tough. But God is always looking toward the finished product. And He understands. Now, God has to reveal Himself to you. And God can't be fully understood, but God can be known truly. And I'm going to explain that to you. You and I will never know God exhaustively, but we can know God in truth. This is truth. Everything that Scripture teaches us about God is truth and can be believed. 1 John 1 teaches us in verse 5 that God is light and in Him there is no darkness at all. 1 John 4, 8 says that God is truth. John 4, 24 says that God is spirit. And to worship Him, you worship Him in spirit and in truth. Romans 3, 26 teaches us that God is righteousness. Hebrews 6, 18 says God cannot lie. And on, and on, and on, and on. You see, all we'll ever learn about God isn't anywhere near all we could learn about Him and all that there is to know. There will always be some unknown. It is truth that Linda and I have 3 children. It is truth that we know them thoroughly and we know them intimately. But it is also truth, we do not know them exhaustively. Don't tell them that. We make them think we do. No. Now listen carefully. Those are all truth. This is also truth. Because we know them intimately and thoroughly, but don't know them exhaustively, in no way weakens the relationship, or the love, or the trust. Either way. There will always be things only us and God know. But beloved, Satan will come to you and say, you know what, if you were a better Christian, God would help you understand all of this, and He would make Himself known more to you, and you'd do a better job. But God is withholding from you. God, you're not good enough for God. Beloved, let me tell you something. Please, if you weren't good enough for God, there'd be no Calvary. for anyone. God doesn't see one person more wicked than another. God sees us all dead in trespasses and sin. But there is Calvary. And you are worth something to God. You're worth the blood of His Son. God is so big, we'll never know Him exhaustively. But what we don't know can never, ever weaken our relationship or our fellowship with Him. It can't weaken our love. It can't weaken our submission. It can't weaken our service. On the bottom of the prayer list this week, pick one up on the way out. On the bottom of our prayer list this week, it said this: when things are hardest, or when it's the hardest for us to pray, is when we need to pray the hardest. And that's the whole point. So if we go back to the scriptures that were read earlier this morning in Jeremiah chapter 29, it says, I'm sorry, Jeremiah 9, and if I start in verse 23, it says this: let not the wise boast of their wisdom, nor the strong boast of their strength, nor the rich boast of their riches. But let the one who boasts boast about this. And here's what God told Jeremiah to write. How do I know that? Just above it says, this is what the Lord says. So here it is, straight from the lips of God: that they have the understanding to know me, that I am the Lord who exercise kindness, justice, and righteousness on earth. For in these I delight, declares the Lord. So God says, if you're going to boast about something, boast that they have understanding to know me. So the question is this: can I cause God to reveal Himself to me at a higher level? What do you think the answer is? Can I cause God to reveal more of Himself to me? Yes, I can. Really? How might that happen? Thank you for asking. I'm going to tell you. In Jeremiah 29:12, God says, it all begins with prayer. You see, as I've tried to study the scriptures, I have learned that there's almost no instance in a relationship with God that is ever more than a nanosecond from prayer. Every part of the relationship begins in prayer. Beloved, listen to me, and I'm going to say this straight, and we'll say it in love. Some of you feel like God has estranged Himself from you by the simple fact you don't have a prayer life. And I mean that you don't have a prayer life beyond thank you for the food, or now I lay me down to sleep. You don't spend time in prayer sharing what God already knows to be true about yourself. And to have an intimate relationship with God, you must begin in prayer. And can I say this to you? If you're struggling with prayer, if you have a fear of prayer, if you say, I don't know how to pray to God, it's kind of a foreign thing to me, and you're sincere about it, and you would like to learn in a non-threatening, low-key way, and you'd like to learn it the right way, meet here on Wednesday night at 6:30. And you'll be with people who have learned. And do you know one of the most exciting things about the people that gather around those tables out there is this: most of them started their prayer life in their prayer groups. Most of them were afraid to lead in silent prayer. And over the course of time, in a sincere attitude, without fear of ridicule or retribution or any pressure, they have come to learn to pray to God. And you can listen to them pray and know that they pray more than just around the tables. Beloved, I can't... Listen, if you think it's important now, wait. We haven't seen trouble yet. And it's like insurance. You can't wait till you have an accident to take it out. If you wait until you're in serious conflict and you try to start praying to God, it's going to be a lot harder. Things are going to be a lot worse. And I would just invite you to do that. The thing that bothers my heart as your pastor is this. This is not the first time I've said this, is it? When will you start coming? When? What would it take? It's an hour. It's non-threatening. It is a high point of the week. You are missing blessings. Now, understand, if you have children, that's a little harder. If you wanted to come, they would be welcome. We understand that once in a while they squeak. God does too. He made them that way. So between now and Wednesday, think about this whole idea of getting to know God better and understanding that to do that, it begins in prayer. Now, that's the first part. Then we understand from Jeremiah 13, we have to seek God with all our heart. Jeremiah says that when you seek me, you will find me, and when you seek me with all your heart is when you'll find me. You see, you can't give God a casual, hey, dude, hey, dad, and expect him to hear and listen. That ain't gonna work. Read Proverbs chapter 2, listen to Jesus as what's recorded in Luke 19. If you want to find the Lord, if you want God to speak to you in your heart from his heart, you seek him diligently. I think if you go to Hebrews 11, somewhere around verse 6, it'll say that God rewards those who believe that he is and seek him diligently. So as you look at your life and you say, this relationship that I have with God, it's kind of static. Look at your prayer life. How hard do you seek God every day? Do you put as much effort into listening to God, letting him talk to you, praying to him as you do just getting up in the morning, getting ready for work? Are you as determined to speak with God as you are to get to work? God says, this is not easy. I understand that, but I'll make it worth your while. Go ask somebody if it isn't worth their while. Paul says in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 1, and Ephesians 5, verse 1, I'm sorry, Ephesians 2, 1 to 3, that you can't seek God holding on to what you were before you were saved. Ephesians 2, 1 to 3, if you'll read those verses, Paul says, all this stuff here is what you were, not what you are. And some of you are trying to find the Lord, if you will. You're trying to have a relationship with God. And what you say is, here's how we're going to work this out. It will work. Beloved, listen. You cannot find the Lord looking for him in the mirror. You find God by looking for him in the scriptures. The teens say it this way, get over yourself. And that hurts. That's hard. But you've got to turn, Paul says, you've got to forget what's behind and turn facing the Lord. In Ephesians 4:1 and 5:1, Paul tells us in order for you to get to know more of God, you have to live in harmony with God and not the world. God will not show himself to you while you're walking in disobedience. God will not do that. God will always be your creator, but he is not always our comforter, is he? He will not comfort us walking in disobedience. Paul says in Philippians chapter 3 that you have to persevere, that you have to keep wanting to know more of Christ than the world. It's where he says, I keep straining for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. I see those of you writing real fast, and I see smoke coming up from somewhere, so I know your pen's really working hard. I just want to give you a chance. He says in 1 John, the result of all this is a life that constantly and consistently seeks God with all one heart. You see, you get to know God at a higher level, and that's what God and you both wanted, I think. Okay, now listen. I know you're writing. You write, but you listen. Somebody might say, Pastor, this is all wonderful stuff, but you know what? It makes good seminary. But we have to walk during the week. We need to be able to take this with us during the week. All right. I understand that. Here's how this comes from being as big as it is down to your exact size. Here's what you can understand. Understand that God is so big, so well equipped, that all of whatever you need, God has for you. Listen. God will meet you right where you are with the tiniest mustard seed size speck of hope, a glimmer of faith, whatever it is. God will meet you there with that if you have the desire to do what he says, to try to know him greater, know him deeper. He will take you wherever you are and in whatever size you are right now and redesign all of it. And he will come to you with an exact, perfect, usable, understandable supply of his love, of his grace, of his forgiveness, his mercy, his peace, his kindness, his patience, his compassion, his understanding, and he will put it on you so perfectly in every way, you will wonder why you waited so long to try it. Thank you. Go ask somebody walking with the Lord. I am amazed when I talk with people And they talk about their walk from where they were to godliness almost every single time. At some point they say, oh, if I hadn't waited so long. God is ready now. So, beloved, can we really know God? You bet. He's been waiting for us for some time now to come to Him so that He can help all of us get to know Him better. By the way, He already knows us perfectly. You cannot ask too often, nor can you ask for more than He has to give you. But you must make the first move because God is as close to you as He can get now until you move toward Him. Why wait? Why wait? Let's pray together. Father, You are an awesome God to be feared. You are a mighty God who is the source of all power. You are a wise God who is the source of all wisdom. You are a God who has promised never to leave us nor forsake us. And You have, Father, given to us more about Yourself than we could ever take in. Thank You. Thank You for making it plain to us that You want to know us and You want us to know You. Look into each heart now, Father. And with Your perfect understanding, speak to that heart in this very moment to draw that heart to You. We ask it, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen.